Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Harkening back to a simpler time. The year was 1994 in this instance. Something uplifting in Houston sports history, which I'll tie into Jeff Van Gundy as he joins us in a moment. Man, did Madison Square Garden pulsate when this would play. And it sounds very 90s. And now I'm just stalling to the refrain, and here it is. Oh, there's another stanza in there first. Well, we'll just use it as the underneath music. Here it is, the Go New York song. Jeff Van Gundy, an assistant coach on those Knicks in that hammer and tong NBA final. First time in a few weeks. Jeff joins us on the program. As always, Jeff, very much appreciated. As a coach back then, did you do any toe-tapping to this, or were you just completely oblivious to the Go New York thing?
Oh, no. Like, when I heard it in the background, it's like Pavlov's dog. You get the same emotional feeling that you got back then, because they used to only play it during, like, a great Knick run.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was... Those were some emotional times. Yeah. Unfortunately, we couldn't finish it off.
Understood. And, well, it's been a week of emotional times on the Houston sports landscape, Jeff. And as an adopted and adoptive Houstonian, and you spoke to it a little bit playfully with Mark Jones Wednesday, more fan traumatic for you, the Astros saga and its play out this week, or the Texans implosion Sunday?
Definitely the Astros. I didn't think that the Texans imploded as much as Kansas City imploded early. Then their talent just came up and overwhelmed us. But the Astros thing goes to a direct impact on everyone in Houston, and you want to be proud of who you're cheering for and the ethical questions that come up and the reputations that have been irreparably harmed. I feel badly for all involved. And I think the whole thing was, from a punishment standpoint, I couldn't disagree more.
The immunity for the players?
Paid the price. Two guys paid the price. The players didn't pay the price. And A.J. Hinch's coaching staff didn't pay a price. Now, I'm not calling for anyone to lose their jobs, but there has to be punishment meted out that everyone who participated gets hurt. And right now, the only two people or three people was Beltran, Hinch, and Lunau.
All right, so on to the lighter side of the conversation. We could continue for an hour, but to basketball, where – relative to the other events of the week, the Rockets losing at Memphis and then dumping one at home to Portland, trivialized. But here we are, one game away, Rockets and Lakers, ABC tomorrow night. Mike Breen, Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy, Doris Burke, Lisa Salters. Who rounds out the telecast tomorrow night, Jeff? Lisa Salters, yes?
What's that? I couldn't hear you there, Charlie.
Rounding out the telecast team tonight. Lisa Salters on the sideline?
Yes.
Okay. Rockets-Lakers tomorrow night. The Lakers at their exact midpoint, 33-8. The Rockets, 26-14. What do you think of them at the virtual midpoint of the season?
Well, I think they've done an excellent job. Westbrook has set out games in the back-to-back nature. They've had some injury. I don't think they're a particularly deep team, and I think it was shown in the second half of the back-to-back against Portland. Westbrook was tremendous. Harden was being doubled and didn't have his normal energy. And the other guys just couldn't make enough to keep him in the game. So, but I think they've done a good job. Obviously, I think it's going to be more interesting if they are able to add to their roster in the next month or so. Because I think then and only then can we say, are they a championship caliber team? Certainly they're a dangerous team right now. I think they would need to make a move to be a championship caliber team.
Foremost, do you think they are just shy in personnel and maybe some DNA of playing defense at a championship level? Maybe some of it is just cruise moments during the regular season, but overall they've been clearly no better than mediocre at the defensive end of the floor. Daryl Morey has consistently said we need to at least be top 10. Well, they're not.
Right, I think they're 15th or so
yeah.
in that range. So to be top 10, obviously they got a ways to go, but I think who gets the blame usually is Harden. And what I've seen out of Harden, for the most part, he's not a candidate for the all-defensive team, but he's improved. I think where they struggle at times is because they score easily at times, I think that impacts their defense and their resilience and toughness at that end. I think they've got to get to the point where their offense, whether it's going good or bad, does not impact their defense. And in fact, their defense becomes something they can rely on a nightly basis. Because when you get into hard-fought playoff series, as you know, Charlie, the offense and the shooting is going to be up and down, but the defense and the habits at that end of the floor can remain constant.
All right, let's branch it out. The Lakers in here tomorrow night, 33-8, had won 9 in a row before a toe stub. No Anthony Davis. And we'll see about AD tomorrow night. Boy, Jeff, LeBron at 35, load maintenance, schmode maintenance. He's just remarkable. The load maintenance stuff, it's so admirable the way he goes about it and the season the Lakers are having. But is there an element of penny wise, pound foolish? Playing 35 minutes per game, and he's playing every game that he's healthy.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a sad state that we start to question whether a guy should show up for work or not. And I think what you do when you're in his mindset is you build habits, you build mental and physical toughness. Your conditioning is at a higher level. So you're ready for the moment. And I think him coming off an injury-plagued last season, he's ready to compete once again for a championship. They've done a great job building the team around them. I do think they need another shot creator on their team from the perimeter position. But he knows he's poised, along with Milwaukee and the Clippers, and maybe another team in the West that can tweak their roster. Those are really the championship caliber teams right now.
Hey, if Patrick Ewing played in today's game without being Patrick Ewing and his mentality and the era in which he played, but with Patrick Ewing, say, knees toward the late 90s, what would he play, about 25 games?
Well, you're right. The way athletes are talked to today and how we surround them with people constantly trying to tell them to do less. You're right. With his knee situation, he probably would have played, I would say, 60 games a year.
Yeah. And then other guys of that era, Karl Malone, Gary Payton. Well, that was then, I guess. The Clippers, of course, were the co-favorite with the Lakers, and they're doing just fine at 29-13. Kawhi sitting out his games. Do you see separation, if not in the standings, Lakers, Clippers, and then the other hopeful contenders in the West? Or do you elevate Denver, Utah, and I don't think you have Dallas there, but I do want you to weigh in on Luka Doncic.
No, I think there is a drop-off from an ability to win a championship past the two L.A. teams. I think right now it's the two L.A. teams in Milwaukee. Those are the three teams that have separated themselves into championship-caliber teams. I do think some team will make a move to put themselves in that picture before the trade deadline. And Doncic, as you've mentioned, you look at their road record, that's championship-caliber. They're, like, I think, 14-5.
Correct.
And But at home, that they are 12-10, it almost boggles the mind. It's a great home court advantage. They have great fan support. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But Doncic is a phenomenal, phenomenal offensive player and rebounder. And he's got size, vision, great confidence and skill. They made a trade. Think about it. They got Nowitzki on a trade, and they got Doncic on a trade. And they're going to be relative and significant in the NBA for 15 years because of that.
Talking with Jeff Van Gundy, there are six really good teams in the West, and Oklahoma City's done a heck of a job to be where it is at number seven. Then bizarro world, Jeff, everybody else except for Golden State right now has a shot at that eight spot. Two teams of particular note, Memphis Grizzlies, and you noted during a telecast the other night, you know, Taylor Jenkins probably could walk down Beale Street and have most people have no idea who he is. Man, they've won six in a row, 13-6 since an awful start. Ja Morant, the tip of the spear, but not the only part of the spear. And New Orleans. Alvin Gentry must just be a great guy to have held the team together. 7-23, no Zion. Now they're 9-3 since with quality wins, and they get Williamson back. Among other things, I'm thinking this finally adds up to the Spurs truly are going to miss the playoffs.
And every time you say that,
yeah,
they're going to run off about five or six in a row. They've held it together. You've seen LaMarcus Aldridge now start to shoot threes. They're, you know, it's their defense that's letting them down right now. Their offense is in the top 10. They're a very good offensive team. It's their defense that can't quite keep pace. But you're right about New Orleans. I think they went through a 12 or 13 game losing streak.
Right.
And to be positioned to be have a chance when Williamson comes back next Wednesday, a good accomplishment on their part. And then Memphis's team, I got to say, early in the season, I didn't see him at all, and I've started to watch them. I coached Jaren Jackson Jr. this summer with the select team, very talented. Valanciunas gives them an element that most teams don't have, which is a low post score to throw the ball into, and Ja Morant is really, really good and a special, special talent.
And to not leave Portland for dead, probably needs a move to fortify the bench, which is just gone from last year. Mad scramble to see who the Lakers sweep out, I guess, in the first round. You heard anything on Anthony Davis tomorrow night? Obviously, ABC and any basketball fan would like to see the Lakers' first visit here at full strength, except for maybe the Rockets themselves.
Yeah, I haven't heard, but I would be surprised if he missed. I think he'll play. They had 1-9 in a row, lost to Orlando. It's a big game for both teams, obviously. Houston's, I think, lost 3 out of 4, and questioning maybe their attitude a little bit right now. So I think it's going to be a great game because I think both teams are trying to bounce back, and that always makes for a good level of intensity.
Hey, are you counting to the days to the first ever in-season tournament thingy, whatever they're going to call it? Harmless silliness or a different opinion?
Yeah, I like the reseeding idea that they had to get the best teams in the finals. I would do that all the way through. I wouldn't even care about conferences. I'd get the 16 best records. So I like the reseeding idea. The tournament idea, I'm still a little confused on what it's trying. I know it's overall the thing is to try to make the regular season more appealing. Our viewership is down TV-wise. Sometimes I think the media and the teams itself have so de-emphasized the regular season that our fans are now starting to believe them and not being excited about it. And when you're only told the playoffs is all that matters, well, that's when some fans then are told that's the only time they should tune in. So I know what they're trying to do with the tournament to bring excitement to the regular season. I'm just not quite informed enough as to how an in-season tournament would do that.
Yeah, it just seems trying to take from European soccer where the culture is just different. You know, they relegate teams over there. We're not going to send NBA teams to the G League. Some things you maybe good in intention, but is it really going to work? Jeff Van Gundy, Rockets, Lakers tomorrow night and throughout the season, of course, ESPN and the ABC Saturday night games kicking in the rest of the way now. Jeff, as always, thanks for your graciousness with the time and hope to do so again a few weeks from now.
You got it, Charlie. Take care. We